Welcome once again to Tash Ministries International's training tapes for the upcoming missions trip. We are so glad you're with us today. In the studios with me once again are Michael Ott and Michael Watson with Tash Ministries International. My name is Becky Fisher, and we are excited about what God is doing in you, what He's going to do through you, and we've got some very interesting things coming up on today's tape. We're going to tell you exactly what you're going to be doing on the mission field and how you need to be ministering and that type of thing. I'm very excited. But before we get going, Michael Ott, would you please one more time tell the boys and girls what they need to have done? They got to have their passport and a bunch of other stuff. Go ahead.
Well, let me update everybody here that's going on the trip what you need to have by this time of these meetings. Right now, you need to be up to date, certainly, on your Bible reading and your devotional worksheets. We trust that you're reading your Bible, that you're answering the questions, that you're taking the time to do it right, not skipping through, because this is going to fill you up. It's going to give you the food that you need to be prepared for this trip. You need to have memorized the last five scripture verses. At this point, you'll have a total of 17 memory verses memorized in your spirit, ready to go for this trip. You're also going to have your How to Witness hand memorized, where you can lead someone to the Lord using your left hand and all the scriptures that go with that and what they mean. All the paperwork is signed, is notarized, it's turned in, and your money. You're going to have your money turned in because we're getting ready to buy tickets if we haven't bought them already and cover the other expenses for the trip. So also, if you have any questions or something, just give us a call at our offices and we'll walk you through it.
Exactly. And as far as the money for the ticket too, Michael, well, they just need to know that we can't buy their ticket unless their money's in, because we just don't have the resources to be putting a whole bunch of money out when we don't know that you're actually going to come through with everything. So they need to have that money in or we cannot buy their ticket, right?
That's right.
Okay. Well, study your manual carefully. You need to know what to pack. Michael Watson, kind of fill us in on some of that stuff.
Exactly. There is a whole list in the back of your manual that will go over the packing and the dress code. One of the main things that we do want to express in here is you will be basically allowed to carry one suitcase, one carry-on, and a pillow. That's the only thing you're going to be able to take on the plane. I know the airlines may say, well, the airlines will let me take two suitcases, or I can check two pieces of luggage. We will usually be providing you with the other piece. You'll be bringing things such as candy, tracks, maybe sound equipment or puppets from your own home church, drama equipment. Those are the things that you'll be bringing along with you as that second piece. So we can only allow you to take one suitcase at this time.
Okay, they're going to be lugging things for Tash Ministries.
Exactly. It's not just for Tash Ministries, it's ministry supplies that we're going to use on the mission field. And your individual groups or your individual home may be collecting extra candy from your church. You may be collecting tracts in Spanish or whatever language of the country we're going to. You may be collecting clothes for an orphanage that we're going to. And those will be the things you'll bring as the second item that you have on the plane will be that extra suitcase of extra things.
Okay. Specific clothing restrictions. There are some. And I know they've got the manual, and if they've been reading their manual, it should be self-explanatory, but there are certain things that we need to emphasize.
Exactly. By the time you get this tape, whether you're at home by yourself or you're meeting with individual groups or with a church group that's going, you should now already be getting a basic outline of our ministry schedule that we're going to be doing on the mission field, whether we're doing two schools during the day and one church at the nighttime, or if we're going out to a jungle village, or we're going to an orphanage during the day. We've got a basic outline of a schedule, which is going to give you an idea how many days we're going to be ministering, what we're going to do during our free day, and what was going to be required for church services. Now, we do have a specific dress code. When any time we're going to be doing a church service inside of a church, we're going to need you to be dressed in nicer church clothes, not your Sunday best, Miss Becky. They don't have to wear their Easter outfit to the mission field.
Right. Especially, they don't want to take anything that's expensive, because it could get dirty, it could get torn.
Could?
Yeah.
More likely it will. This is a mission trip,
yes,
Becky.
Okay.
It's not a trip to the mall.
So if you're going to buy clothes, don't go down to the expensive places.
That's right, Becky. I buy a lot of my missions clothes when I know I'm going into a jungle area or into a rougher area. In Mexico, we minister to people who actually live in the garbage dump, Becky. So I don't wear my best Sunday suit and tie. I've even bought some of my clothes at a thrift store. I mean, you can go buy jeans or pants for like a buck or two at a thrift store, and you don't have to spend the $15, $20 for a pair of pants.
Excellent.
So during the dress code, though, when you're in a church service, we're a little bit nicer. We want all the boys to be in slacks, some type of a collared shirt, no t-shirts. It must be a collared shirt. It can be short or long sleeved. It can even be a polo shirt as long as it has a collar. For the girls, we want them to be in a dress or a skirt. We need to make sure that the skirts go down to the knees or below. They're longer skirts, no mini skirts. And the girls can wear a nice blouse, or if it is part of the dress, they wear the nice part of the dress. And I wear comfortable shoes for a church service. Other services that we'll be doing, depending on where we're at, the boys still have to have the same dress code, pants and a collared shirt. But when we're going doing outdoor services for the girls, and we will let you know, you might be able to wear slacks for certain of the services, and they need to be just a pair of casual slacks that the girls can wear. Always wear comfortable shoes. Tennis shoes are acceptable even for church services. No, girls, you don't have to have a colored shoe for every outfit that you bring. You only want to bring a couple pairs of shoes in your suitcase. Guys can bring one or two pairs of shoes in their suitcase also.
Let's discuss those skirt lengths again just very quickly. You did say that they have to come down to the knee. It's really difficult in this day and age for girls to buy skirts right now, as of the taping of this missions tape, for them to even get something down there. They're going to have to either make something, or they're going to have to get something that goes down the ankles or whatever, because we will make them change their clothes, won't we, Michael?
Exactly. If somebody is dressed inappropriately or doesn't abide by the dress rule guidelines, we will ask you not to wear that for that day or that certain time.
And things that pass right here in the American churches, in American churches, people are wearing those things all the time. Whether they should or shouldn't is irregardless. But overseas, we are quite offensive when we wear dresses that are too short or whatever, or
exactly.
Short sleeves.
And we want to have a ministry of integrity, so we want everybody to dress appropriately, not to offend anybody, and that's why we do set out a dress code, Miss Becky.
Okay, very quickly cover the issue of shorts. When can they wear them? And you better talk about the length of those as well.
Okay, the short situation is you'll be timely to wear shorts. If we're maybe going to have a shopping or free day, or if you're going to the beach for the day, or anytime you're around your own hotel or dorm area, you'll be able to wear shorts inside of there. Now, one thing we do want to make sure is the short length. If you would stand up and put your four fingers together and place them on the top of your knee, your shorts need to come down to the top of your fourth finger. It's what we call the four-finger rule. And you cannot wear those real short shorts. Now, for guys, it's a little bit easier. You can usually find long shorts. Sometimes for the girls, it's a little bit harder. So, girls, you may have to do a little bit of searching. Or, you know, if it's blue jean-type shorts, you can get those longer. There is no blue jeans to be worn on the trip unless it's for a free day, or we specifically say you're going to wear jeans for the day. I'd bring a pair, but jeans are not part of our dress code.
As far as the girls, if they're having a real difficult time, or guys, either one, if they're having a difficult time finding shorts that will go long enough, all they have to do is go to the thrift store, buy themselves some pants, and cut them off.
Exactly.
But you've got to do something, because we cannot be offensive to those people over there.
Amen. And you're going to dress appropriately. These tapes are going out at all different times, I know. You may be going on a trip where it's cold weather. You may be going on a trip where it's subtropic weather in the Caribbean or in Central America. So each trip will have to dress accordingly, and we will be contacting your contacts, your leads, to tell them what clothing will be appropriate.
Okay. All righty then. Okay, well, that covers some of the more practical things. Today, on the spiritual side of affairs, we're looking at some of the things that you can expect when we actually get on the mission field, what ministry is going to be like. And by ministry, we mean what's going to happen during the church services, or what will happen when we actually go out and minister, what we say minister to people, the message of Jesus. Those are some of the things that we want to cover. What kind of places are we going to be going to, Michael? You kind of touched on that earlier, but just go over that again and what type of people we're going to.
Okay. Becky, I like to call this tape, Be Ready to Minister. You've listened to several tapes up till now. You've started doing the studying of the manual, the studying of the memory verses. Now we're going to touch on what it takes to make you ready to minister. And as Becky said, we're going to be going to a variety of places to minister at. We may be in the orphanages, we may be in schools, we may be in churches, we may be in city parks, just set up right out in the open in a city park. We may be on the beach doing something. We may go 2 hours upriver in a boat and go to a remote jungle area where we're doing it under a thatched roof, open air type crusade, or in an open church. There'll be many areas that we're going to be going to minister. In many cases, the people may already be Christians. We do work with a lot of local missionaries, but everywhere we go, there will be people who have not heard about Jesus. And it's very important that we're ready to minister. And you'll be ministering, this is very important, you'll be ministering through puppets, drama, clowns, testimonies, mini messages. Even now, you should already be preparing, and God, I believe, is stirring in your heart maybe a 5 or 10 minute mini message on faith or on what God's done in your life that you can share with the people of the country you're going to. You need to be ready to share. By now, some of you should have already been divvying up who's going to be on drama team, who can do puppets, maybe even working on some puppet skits. Those tapes have come in the mail now. And you should be ready to go over puppets and go over dramas that we will be doing on the mission field.
That's for those that are coming as teams. If they're individuals at home, they've not received those tapes. But if a team is coming from a local church, then they will have received some puppet and drama tapes and that type of thing.
Even individuals, we may be contacting you, and if you have a specific desire, we will get them on a mission ministry team, whether you're on a drama team or a puppet team. And as the team meets together for the first time, we will gel on that, and that's going to be on our teamwork that we come up in a little bit.
Okay, awesome. Most of the time when we go out to do a service, the preaching itself may be done by the leaders of the team, Pastor John, Pastor Michael, whomever, Pastor Shirley. It could be a variety of people. But the ministry at the altars afterwards, or the prayer time, is going to be largely up to us as a team to help the leaders with that. Who wants to fill us in on what that's like and what we're going to be doing?
Well, Becky, let me state right here, boys and girls and team members that are coming with us, you all know that we're preparing you to minister. You're going to learn how to pray, and we're going to pray for the sick. We're going to lead others to Jesus, and you're getting some of those ideas and teaching in your manual. But, you know, there are some people out there, they wonder, what is God going to do? I mean, is God going to really heal somebody, or is God going to save the lost? Let's settle the issue right here and right now. The very reason why you are going on this trip is because God spoke to your heart. Somewhere, somehow, some way, you prayed, or it's in your heart, God put it there, that you need to go on a missions trip. Let's settle the issue right here and right now and say it this way: because God has called you to go, we want you to understand that God has already, according to Ephesians 2:10, He has created you as His workmanship unto good works, which God has before ordained that you should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. In other words, God has called you to go because He's planning to use you to do something great for the kingdom of God. In other words, it's not a question if God wants to heal. He is going to heal. He's already planned it. It is not a question of whether God's going to save the lost. He's already planned it because you're going, because He's called you to go. In other words, don't let it be a question anymore. Settle it.
That's right.
God's going to heal the sick. God's going to save the lost.
That's right.
God's going to deliver the oppressed, and He's going to use you to do it.
In other words, what you're saying, Michael, is when we get out there and start praying for people, we have to expect that God is going to do something.
Yes, Becca, we do have to expect that God's going to do it, and we have to already know that it's not a matter of if He's going to do it. We know that He is going to do it. And so we're just going to follow. We're going to believe God's word. We're going to lay hands on the sick. We're going to expect it to happen because we know God wants it to happen.
And that's what we call faith.
Amen.
Faith is expecting God to do what He says He'll do.
You know, the word of God says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
What He did in the scriptures has not died with the apostles or with Jesus. He's still alive today. The things that we read about in the four gospels, He plans to continue going on until He comes and takes His church home with Him.
Taking a little closer, the scripture verses that you are memorizing right now that says, Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 20, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go on a mission trip. and preach the gospel, and these signs shall follow them that believe.
That's right.
In my name, they will cast out devils, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. If they take up any serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. Mark 16:20 says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. We expect these signs.
And that's the very reason why you're memorizing these scriptures. Because we want you to realize and to know and understand that these things are going to take place because God's word says so. Be ready. Look for them. Expect them. You're going to be amazed what God's going to do.
It's like walking up to a switch, a light switch on the wall, and flipping that switch. When you flip that switch, you expect the lights to come on.
Exactly.
If you turn them off, you expect them to go off. When you go to the water faucet and turn it on, you expect that water to come out. When you go to put the key in the ignition of your car and you turn that car, you expect that motor to start. It's the same thing in the spiritual realm. When you walk up to a person and you lay hands on them, you have to expect that God is going to answer the prayer that you are praying, whether it's for salvation or for a miracle or for healing or whatever it is. There has to be an expectancy
exactly.
on the inside. If there's not, God doesn't have anything to work with.
Nope.
That's called faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God.
And that's what we're expecting out of the boys and girls, Becky. As you're studying, as you're learning, we're expecting this to come up, to rise up in you. Why are we reading through 1 John? Why are we reading through the gospel or the book of Acts? Why are we reading through the Gospel of John? Because we're expecting these things. We've touched a little bit on this on the tape about the Holy Spirit moving through them. And that's what we're expecting. Now we're going to go into a little bit closer as what we want them to do during the ministry times. There are specific things that we want you to be ready to do during the ministry times. We could have a whole team of 40 or 50 people on the mission field, and if we're up there ministering and we say, okay, those of you that want prayer, and our team just stands around and does nothing, well, we didn't do any good there. We want you to, when that ministry time comes, one of the key things you need to be doing is paying very close attention.
Before you go further, Mike, let's add this. A lot of the ministry, let's say the message portions of the service, may be done by our team leaders, if we didn't mention that already. And so after Pastor John or yourself, myself, or whoever is finished ministering, there's going to be a time that follows where we're going to minister this message to the people. In other words, there's going to be a practical time where we're going to believe God for something to take place. If we're going to preach on salvation, by golly molly, we have to have an altar call, a time for people to receive Jesus. And then that's where you come in, whether it's saving the lost or healing the sick or whatever it is that's going to happen at that place. That's where your role will come in, and that's where God's going to use you in a very instrumental way.
Exactly. That's why you must be paying very close attention and listening to what is being said from the platform. See, everybody will have different responsibilities. You may be doing a drama skit 5 minutes before the altar call, and you may still be in makeup, but we're not expecting you to go back and take off all your clothes and get your makeup off and start packing the trunk up when the altars are being filled with souls. That's when you need to be ready to minister. You will wear many different hats and do many different things on the mission field, from setup to tear down to clowning to a mime to a puppet skit to a drama to ministry. Mm-hmm. So everybody has to be listening very close to what is said from the platform for exactly what that call is for. Maybe it's for a closer walk, and you're praying for somebody for a closer walk with Jesus, or deliverance, or healing, or a miracle, or salvation, or whatever it may be. You'll have to be ready to minister. Now, most of the time, let me say this, most of the time with salvation, the minister who is leading the people may go ahead and give a general prayer that all will repeat. And even if you don't know the language, we want you to speak what you can in English, or speak out, even repeat the prayer, even if it's in English, so we know the communication and dialogue is happening.
What we want them to do, Michael, is when they are called up to help begin ministering, on the practical side, yes, they come up and they'll repeat a prayer or whatever, but they need to come up and select someone to stand behind. Go up there, stand behind them, perhaps even lay a hand on their back or on their shoulder
yes.
to let them know that somebody is behind them. And then if you're not repeating a prayer in English or whatever, quietly pray in the Spirit while the minister up in front is still preaching
yes.
or saying something to the congregation. But you need to, this is another reason why you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because you need to be, this is a good time to be using that prayer language.
Amen. people may come to the altar, Becky, and we will come to them at the altar, or you may be asked by the speaker to go out into the audience and just go and lay hands on people. Now, that's where you definitely got to be praying in the Spirit, because God may give you a face or a person that you've been seeing all service long, and that's the one He wants you to go lay hands on and pray for, because God's going to heal them through you. God's going to minister to them through you. And then after you get through praying with that one, you go and you find somebody else to pray for. You go and you find somebody else to pray for. So that's the ministry we're expecting during altar times.
The Holy Spirit is just going to begin to draw them like a magnet to the people that they should be praying with. And when they do that, then what are they do when they walk up to them? Just start praying in tongues or what? They actually, there's going to be times where you may need to go up. Maybe the minister at the front has given two or three different altar calls, maybe one for salvation, one for healing, one for a closer walk with the Lord. And so when you walk up to that person, maybe they've raised their hand and said they want to be ministered to, but you need to ask them, why are you praying?
Exactly.
Don't assume that they're praying for salvation. Don't assume they're praying for healing. You need to find out, maybe their kid is on drugs or something, their heart is broken. You know, there's a number of reasons why people come for prayer. So you need to ask them. Don't be afraid. Be bold. Step out and find out why they've come for prayer.
That's the key word, Becky. Be bold. This is not a time for the empty prayer hands. How many times have I seen it in church services? We've traveled all over the United States. You have people come up for prayer and four or five kids get around them, lay their hand on a shoulder, look down at the ground, and they just mumble something. That's not the time to be mumbling something. Peter didn't stand up in the book of Acts and mumble to the crowd. It says he stood up and he spoke the word of God. He preached to the people. You're going to be able to have the boldness. You will have the boldness, and I believe it'll rise up in you, that you'll be able to ask the people, specifically, what have you come up for? You'll be able to ask the people, I'm ready to pray for you. The boldness of the Holy Spirit and the compassion that Jesus had will be there for the people. You may be so touched also by what God is doing through you. You may even have watery eyes and tears because you're trembling under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit moving through you, wanting to minister to those people. But the key thing is to be bold with it. Go out and address the people. Go out and lay hands on one people, two persons, three persons, four persons.
You know, Michael, the scripture says that we're not to fear what we're to say, because the Holy Spirit will give us the very words that we're to speak.
Good.
And so in that moment, when it's time to pray for someone, you may find someone that wants prayer, and it's going to be something you weren't prepared about. Well, gee, we didn't cover this in our manual. It's okay. This is where you pray in the Spirit, you count on the Holy Ghost, and as you pray with the best of your ability, the Holy Spirit's going to pray through you. He's going to reveal things through you. You'll sense God's love, you'll sense God's anointing, and you'll be so excited to see what God's going to do.
This is also a good opportunity to fall back on the scriptures that you've been studying, because I find for myself, when it comes to praying for people, there's many times you will encounter the problems that people have can be overwhelming. And you listen to what they're saying, you think, God, I don't even know how to pray. And of course, we can pray in the Holy Spirit at that time. But I find that if I can fall back on familiar scriptures, that some of the most powerful prayers is simply praying out the Word of God. For instance, if a person is having emotional problems, I fall back on the scriptures that said, God, you said that we could have your peace that passes all understanding.
Right.
So I pray for my sister right now.
Yes.
That she has peace. That's why, boys and girls, that it's so important that you're taking seriously reading your Bible every day, because that's why you're putting the Word of God in you. So at those moments when you've got to draw on that, you've
it's
got
there.
Something to pull on. It's
yes.
there, and it just comes right out, and you can pray them out. And nothing will be more accurate over these people in your prayers than praying the Word of God.
And that's the key. That is the foundation to all this, because if you're not doing this daily Bible reading, prayer, and the memory of your scriptures, Miss Becky, when you get there, you will be empty.
Empty.
And you cannot be empty. There are people, their lives are counting on you, and you've been trained, and you've been filled up with these things from God's Word. Why? To pour it out into their lives. And so please, please take very seriously this training and what you should be doing so that you are ready.
Becky, I think this is a time when we need to give them specific direction on how to minister. There's some specific steps. We're not going to tell you exactly what to pray, but there are some specific things that we want you to do. We want you to lay hands on the people. And the reason we want you to lay hands on the people is because number one is a point of contact. When you lay hands on somebody, you're going to release, you're making a point of contact to where you can release your faith, you can release the word of God into their situation and into their being. Now, how do you go lay hands on? Do you just go start laying your hands all over somebody, wherever you can touch, wherever you can grab? No, we need to use wisdom. Number one, boys need to be praying for boys. Girls need to try and pray for girls. That doesn't mean that it always has to happen that way, but you need to be careful where you lay your hands. A good place to lay your hands is on their forehead or on their head, or you can grab a shoulder or an arm or a hand. Try not to lay your hands on other parts of the body where you wouldn't want people touching you. That's a good rule of thumb.
It's a very good rule.
If you don't like having your hands laid on you in different places, then you don't lay your hands on somebody else in those places.
Not only that, when that happens, what happens, that person can't receive at that moment because now they're troubled or they're disturbed about the way, you know, they're being prayed for, and it's a hindrance.
Exactly. Number two, we want you to pray loudly. None of these... Oh, Father, blah, 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 blah. No, pray loudly and boldly and pray specifically the words that are in you. In Jesus' name, I thank you for healing my brother of whatever it is. You'll know, you have cancer. I thank you for giving them strength to their body. I thank you in Jesus' name that the word is working mightily in them. Father, that you put them on fire for you. Those are just some examples that you can pray out of your spirit for the people.
That is a very good point, too. I would really like to stress this. When you pray, doesn't matter what the nature of your prayer is, you always pray in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That's where the power is. It's in His name, in His blood, and in His word.
That's right.
So when you lay hands, the Bible specifically tells us when we lay hands and pray for someone that we are to pray in the name of Jesus. So no matter what else you do, make sure that that is included in your prayer somewhere.
Amen. The name of Jesus. So those are the two basic things. Lay hands on the people, pray loudly and boldly. Number three, be led by the Spirit. You don't need to stay with one person for 27 minutes.
That's
you may,
right.
But you don't need to spend only 30 seconds with somebody. Be sensitive as you're praying and as you would feel a release of God to go on to the next person, then you can go to the next person.
I like to think of laying on hands somewhat like, okay, take this example, for instance. If we have an electrical cord and we plug that electrical cord into a power saw, there's absolutely no power in that electrical cord by itself. But once you plug it into a wall socket, then electricity begins to flow through it. And then you can pull the trigger on that power saw and it has great ability to do something powerful.
Right.
We're like that extension cord. We can be plugged into God, but if we're not plugged into that person or laying hands on that person or whatever, the power of God doesn't go through them as powerfully as if there's a connection.
Amen.
From one source to the other.
Amen. And so those are the basics of ministering to somebody. Now to go on, there may be many different things that people come up for, and just take a few minutes and talk. First off, somebody may come up for a healing or a miracle. And some of you may think, well, isn't that the same thing? Well, first off, no, it's not. There's a difference between a healing and a miracle. First off, a healing is something that as we pray for somebody, you may not see an outward, instant manifestation or a sign that God has healed somebody. But you know that you've released your faith and the prayer is working in you. Whereas a miracle, you're going to see an outward sign. Somebody may get up out of the wheelchair and begin to walk. The stories we've told you about the crippled hand that was withered up, straightened out, and they raised their hand for the first time. Those are miracles. So as we're praying, we can expect both things to happen, or one or the other.
Yes, I like to think of it like this too, that if someone had a hand that would no longer work, say the muscles were, for whatever reason, they just weren't able to use their hand, you prayed for them and they were able to use their hand, that would be one thing. But if they didn't have a hand, and you prayed and suddenly a hand grew out. Now that's a miracle.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
So there is a difference between being healed and miracles. Okay.
That's right, Becky. The Bible says, number one, in 1 Peter 2:24, by the stripes on Jesus' back, we were healed. There's many scriptures, many things that you've been reading that will enforce that God wants to heal, that God wants to do miracles, that God is a God that works today.
Michael, another great scripture for healing that we can apply in Psalms 103, starting verse 2, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." You see, God's got many benefits for us. And one of those benefits is healing, as it reads in verse 3, "Who forgives all thy iniquities." He forgives our sins and iniquities. "Who heals all thy diseases." You see, God's going to heal the diseases and the sicknesses of these people. Jesus went about healing the sick and delivering the oppressed.
I remember the story in the Bible where blind Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me." And what did Jesus do? He turned to him and healed the blind man.
Yes. The story of the lepers coming to Jesus and saying, "Jesus, if you will, you can make us clean. You can take this leprosy away." And what did Jesus say? He said, "I will. It's my will." In other words, is what he was saying. "It's my will to heal you. I will heal you. Be thou clean." You know, and he reached out and he touched them. Isn't that interesting? Even Jesus used laying on of hands.
There's the one with the woman with the issue of blood as she pressed through the crowd and she grabbed a hold of the garment of Jesus' garment. And Jesus said in the middle of all that crowd, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "What do you mean, who touched me? For everybody's touching you." And he said, "No, someone has touched me with faith, and I felt virtue leave me." You see, the anointing of God's going to fill you, boys and girls. The anointing of God is upon you. And as you lay hands on people, that anointing is going to flow through you and heal people.
I like to look at it this way. Do you remember the man when Jesus was preaching and there was a man who was lame and the house was totally full?
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't even get in to Jesus. So what did his friends do? They took him up on the roof, removed some tiles, and lowered him down to receive the healing. That is how God is going to use you to bring healing. Just as those four men worked together to bring healing to that one gentleman, God is going to use you to bring healing, to bring deliverance, to bring salvation, to bring general Bible help to these people that you are going to.
Amen. And yes, he can use children.
Amen.
Amen, yes.
Children that are full of the Word and full of the Holy Ghost.
That's right. They're not too young, Miss Becky. A lot of people may think, oh, laying on hands is for the preacher. Laying on hands is for the old people. No, Becky, they're not too young. They're ready to minister. They're ready. You know, Paul told Timothy to not despise thy youth, but in all these things be thou ready to minister.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, one of the other things that we'd like to point out the attention to all the team members to is there are times that we will come across a situation where there will be a manifestation of, of demons. We've had it happen before on trips. We've seen it happen. And, well, you can find some more information about it in the back of your manual. There is an article there that's talking a little bit on deliverance and demons and things like that. But the important thing to remember is not to be scared, not to be afraid.
Exactly.
You see, Jesus has given you authority over all the power of the enemy. He's given you that authority and power over his power. And so we don't have to be afraid of that thing. But
right.
I can think of some times where we've gone to some Indian reservations and there has been a demonic manifestation where there was a female girl talking in a man's voice. And, you know, if you've never heard or experienced anything like that, that might seem frightening. But, you know, if you read it in the scripture, it's there. It happens. It still happens today.
Yes.
But the good news is the same power that delivered them now or then will deliver them now.
Yes.
And so we want you to read over that, not to be concerned, not to be afraid, but to certainly to be ready, because if a situation like that does arise, be ready. Know what you need to do. Know what to expect. Use the name of Jesus. And you know what? That demon has got to flee. Jesus has given us authority that would tread over every serpent, over every power of the enemy. And in Jesus' name, we can set them free.
You know what I find very interesting in Mark 16, when he's talking to the believers about what they're going to do, he leads the list with casting out devils.
Yes,
and it
does.
Seems to be, in actual life, it seems to be the thing that we avoid like the plague. You know, a lot of times, you know, we don't want anything to do with that. frankly, a lot of times we don't recognize it here in the United States because sometimes it looks different. The strongholds that are in people's lives just look differently, whereas they are pretty obvious overseas. The devil just is very exposed over there.
The devil can manifest himself in a variety of ways, and in this article on the back of the book, it does talk about how he'll manifest through, in the scriptures, it talks about throwing people on the ground and gnashing of teeth and talking in a man's voice, etc. I think a lot of the things that we see in other countries, there's a lot more witchcraft that is practiced from generation to generation, especially in different areas like we've mentioned before, in our Indian reservations, where
Mexico.
There has been in Mexico and some other places where there has been witchcraft that is practiced. It may not be practiced as much in the United States, and demons manifest themselves differently and don't manifest or show themselves in the same way. But those cultures that do practice those kind of things have a manifestation that's very obvious. And that's where we'll see and notice more of that, where there is the voice and all this kind of things. And like I say, when those things happen, we know how to take care of it because you've read about it, you've studied it, and you just take authority over it in Jesus' name.
And we'll be there, too. You're not going to be out all by yourself dealing with these.
But you know, the exciting thing is where we were talking about that one young lady. I can remember when Pastor John was coming down off the platform to go minister to this one young lady that had a demonic manifestation there, and the Spirit of God stopped them and said, "No, get some people on your team, some kids, to do it." Of course, he turned to those who he knew were ready and filled with the Holy Ghost and were bold, and he said, "Girls, I want you to go over there and I want you to minister to that girl and cast out that devil." Well, you know what? They cast that devil out of that girl. That's by right, golly moly.
They didn't just go pray for the person. They cast the devil out, Pastor Mike.
Oh, yeah. They didn't just like, me? Maybe you should do it, Pastor John. Or no. There was a boldness that rose up inside of them. I mean, they didn't walk over. They didn't ask the young lady. It was obvious it was happening. They went over there, and in Jesus' name, because they recognized who they were in Christ.
That's right.
They recognized the authority that Jesus had given them through his name. And so they just went over there expecting and exercised that which they knew what would take place. And so in Jesus' name, they went over and they took authority over that demon and cast the demon out. And you know what? They backed that young lady outside the tent and up into a parking lot up against a pickup truck and prayed for that girl. And that girl came back inside that tent, gloriously delivered. She was crying. She was set free. There was a glow on face that she was set free. And from what I understand, that young lady is now ministering to children there in her hometown now that she's been set free.
Awesome.
What excites me about this, Becky, as we close this tape, it excites me that these boys and girls, you are getting ready to step into a ministry, to step into the mission field, to allow the power of God to flow through every one of them. Our main scripture verse, Becky, is Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. I'm going to read it. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Say that, boys and girls, right there. Say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me."
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Because he has anointed me.
Because he has anointed me.
To preach the gospel to the poor.
To preach the gospel to the poor.
He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted.
He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted.
To preach deliverance to the captives.
To preach deliverance to the captives.
And recovering of sight to the blind.
And recovering of sight to the blind.
To set at liberty them that are bruised.
To set at liberty them that are bruised.
To preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
To preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Boys and girls, moms and dads, teachers, pastors, you are being prepared to minister, and you will be ready to minister as you go out onto the field. I want you to just get a partner right now, and I want you to lay hands on them. And I want you to release the gift of God from you inside of them. I want you to start ministering right now. I want you to grab somebody right there. Stop. You don't have to stop the tape because we're going to pray with you. I want you to grab somebody right in your room, and I want you to begin to lay hands on them, and I want you to begin to pray for them. Mom and dad, pray for your son. Son, pray for mom and dad if you're an individual. If you're with a group that's at a church meeting, go find somebody else. Find your prayer partner. Begin to pray for them. And I want you to lay hands on them. Begin to pray for them. Begin to speak the word of God through them. Begin to speak the boldness boldness in them. Begin to say that they're ready to minister. Father God, right now. Find them. Lay hands on them. There you go. Right now, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Father God, and I release the faith inside of every one of our team members right now in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you for a Holy Spirit boldness that is coming on them, that as they are ready to minister in puppets, mime, drama, Father God, whatever it may be, song, messages, Father God, that a boldness is going to rise up in them, Father. A boldness to preach the Word of God. A boldness to minister the Word of God. I thank you, Father God, for the power that is flowing through every one of our young people that are going on this mission trip. Over every leader that is going on this mission trip. I thank you, Father God, that they're going to heal the sick. They're going to cleanse the lepers. They're going to raise the dead. They're going to cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely they're going to give it out, Father God. And as they've received it, they're going to give it out, as it says in Matthew, Father, in Jesus' name. Now I want you to stop for a minute. Everybody stop. Look at your hands. Through your hands, since you have Jesus inside of you, your hands are the same hands that Jesus had. And as you've read and you've studied that he laid hands on the sick and they recover, you're going to lay hands with those same hands. And Jesus is going to move through you and heal the sick. And they're going to recover because he is inside of you. He is inside of you. Go find somebody else to pray for him. Do the same thing. Begin to pray for them. Begin to release the gift of God in them. Father God, I thank you for the gift of healing. I thank you, God, for the gifts of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, Father God. I thank you for the ministry that is going to pour forth out of every boy, out of every girl, out of every worker in the name of Jesus. Father God, that as we hit the mission field running, we're going to do signs and wonders. These signs shall follow them that believe. And these boys and girls and workers are believers. And the signs are going to follow them in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, that our boys and girls and our teams are ready. They are ready. They are ready to go out into the harvest. They are ready to be labor sent. They are ready to go out, Father God, and reap what the Spirit of God is telling them, Father, in Jesus' name. Be ready to minister, boys and girls, wherever you're at. Moms and dads, wherever you're at, you are getting ready to minister. Take the time that you need in your own individual groups. If you need to stop this tape and continue praying and continue worshiping, I encourage you to do that. This is the time to do it. Boys and girls, if you can't lay hands on somebody right there in your own group or in your own family, if you're studying individually, then you're not going to lay hands on somebody out on the mission field.
That's right.
So I want you to practice it right now, because you're going to be ready to minister. That's what excites me, Becky. These boys and girls and moms and dads and pastors and teachers are going to be ready to minister, Pastor Mike.
Amen.
That's right. And I also want to mention to the leaders that are there to make sure that you're pulling on your kids. If you have children's services and things where you're all together, pull on your team members. It is a prime place for them to exercise what they are learning and what they're going to be doing on the mission field. So, boys and girls, don't be caught flat-footed, so to speak. If your teacher calls on you to pray for the sick this week or to minister to people of children of your own age or whatever in your class, because you know what? You need to start exercising it now.
Amen. Well, Pastor Michael, we'll sign off for another time here and look forward to getting together again and look forward to seeing our team.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
God bless you.
God bless you. See you guys later.
Time has come for me to answer. Can you hear?